Amen and amen. All right, so we have a couple quick announcements for you this morning. I have a couple to fire through, so I'm actually going to first invite Miss Marilyn to come up and share an announcement with us. Let's give it up for Miss Marilyn. She makes her way.
Good morning. So this morning for a few minutes, we're going to talk about some things that most people, including myself, don't really like to talk about outside of church, much less inside. But I want you to just for a moment, just take a deep breath with me. Relax and realize we're not going to be talking about politics today. We're going to be talking about reach, build, and honor. Some of the information that we have is kind of active out there in our political realm, but you know, at Harvest Bible Church, we're nonpartisan. We're biblocrats, however you want to say it. So we're about protecting our children. So we follow, this year, the legislation session is now over. Over 2,000 bills were presented in our legislative session this year. Governor Newsom signed 794 into law. So we're just going to talk about a couple of, the first is the good thing. AB 84 was designed to suffocate charter schools with regulations. They did so because of one bad apple saw that as an opportunity. I say they because most of the leadership in this state is really anti-Christ, anti-family, and anti-children. So seeing the exodus from public schools, they're trying to find ways to make it more difficult for people to have their kids in charter schools and in homeschools, which often are dovetailed from charter schools. But thanks to lobbying efforts, to your support for our pressure that we put on the legislature, this bill died before it ever made Governor Newsom's desk. So, yeah, praise the Lord. So he was not able to do anything with it. And also, we had an SB 414 bill that was designed to give oversight to charter schools in a very balanced way, and that did pass all the legislature. So we were very excited about that. However, Governor Newsom vetoed that bill. So what we can expect in the next legislative session, which I'm encouraging you all to be prepared for and praying about, is that they will probably launch another attack against charter schools because the teachers union is the one that really championed that cause, and they're concerned about losing their jobs because, especially now, because they Governor Newsom signed AB 495 into bill, probably much more people are going to be taking their kids out of public school and homeschooling them. The other good news is AB 771. Newsom vetoed that because he's concerned about his reputation, and it was a social media censoring bill. AB 86, he also vetoed that, which was to sexualize children, not just bring sex education, but to actually sexualize them down to the kindergarten level. And he vetoed that based on fiscal concerns and redundancy, which he is already quite sure because of the other laws that we have passed that we can fully indoctrinate our children down to the kindergarten level without this bill. So the bills that we were concerned about here that Governor Newsom did sign, of course, was AB 495. I want to thank everyone who participated in the rally and all of the efforts that we made to try to keep that bill from passing. And also AB 727, which now will include a LGBTQ hotline on every school ID. And so the worst part about this is that it introduces children to the Trevor Project, which has couched in that website many sexually perverted chat rooms. It is not monitored, so anyone can go. It says between 13 and 18, but they don't check it. They don't monitor it. So there's predators on that site, and we just need to be careful, watch over our kids. Also, AB 932, he signed into law, which would kind of override President Trump's initiative about keeping transgender males out of female sports. This kind of negates that in California by making a non-discrimination law. So those are the bills that we're highlighting that are negative, you know, and the reason we're highlighting is not to just like, you know, tout bills, but it's really important for us as parents to be equipped with the devil's schemes and to know what we're to watch out for our kids, because that's priority for us. And, you know, we need to know those things. The community action team endeavors to make that information easily available to you. We know that in this day and age that pretty much it's hard to be not informed with social media and all of the media outlets out there, that, you know, people are individually staying informed. And Harvest Bible Church breaks the percentage barriers in most cases in tithing and in being involved in this arena. Harvest Bible Church also breaks those barriers. So I applaud you. I thank you for your participation. Just seeing this in a different way. We don't see it as being involved in politics. We see it as being good stewards of our biblical standards in our community and in our families. So thank you for that. Which brings me to current. Currently, we are receiving ballots to take directly to the Registrar of Voters office for you, so that you can. Even if you don't want to vote in person on that day, you can, for your convenience and to avoid any problems with mail or drop boxes, we're offering that service to you. There is out there an instruction. There's instructions on exactly how to take advantage of that. We want you to only fill out this red box at the bottom you see here of your ballot. That's the only thing you need to fill out. The signature needs to match most likely your DMV signature. When we take the ballot to the ROV, I will be putting my name in this top corner up here as the person receiving the ballot. I will personally deliver it, and we will record that delivery. I'll either take a picture or video or something of the record. We're not giving out receipts because they're really pointless. You know, there's no really way to, we cannot prove that your ballot is counted. So on this instruction sheet, there's a way for you to sign up for Track Your Ballot. Please do so, because that's the only way you will know that your ballot is counted. We can prove we delivered it, but we can't prove that it's counted. So there's website, there's QR codes, everything you need is on this instruction sheet. I prefer that you bring, we'll be out there at the desk. I prefer that you bring the ballot to me in person so that I can look it over before we put it in the box. It will be locked up. By law, we are required to deliver it within 3 days of receiving the ballots. I really don't know how they would enforce that, but we are determined to follow the law. So we will be delivering them on Tuesdays, and on Thursdays we'll be receiving them on Sunday and on Wednesday. There is a pamphlet or an informational sheet on Prop 50, which we are encouraging you to vote no, because really all that does in California is make a greater supermajority with the legislative people who are anti-Christian, anti-family, and anti-children. So we're encouraging you to, well, I'm encouraging you to vote no. And, you know, to be quite honest, really the church, there's no liability for us encouraging to vote no on a bill like this. We are not supposed to support candidates particularly, or we are to be nonpartisan. Well, this is a nonpartisan issue. So I'm fully confident that we are not violating any laws or putting the church in any danger by telling you to vote no on Proposition 50. So thank you for that. And then just one more quick to have you watch out for the future. Very soon we'll be having two petitions out there for you to sign. One is to get an amendment on the Constitution to protect Prop 13, which is your property taxes, which they're they're looking to find every way to increase our taxes, and that's one of the few things that we have in California that's good, is our Proposition 13. Also, there will be a petition for voter ID. Both of these petitions are to amend the Constitution and get them on the ballot for the 2026 election. As you probably are already aware, Carl DeMiro is actively seeking signatures for this petition as well. We are doing it independently from him, but it is the same petition. If you sign the petition for Carl DeMaio, please do not sign it at the church, because a dual signature will negate your signature. They do check those. We're going for 1 million signatures to receive by March, so that the $800,000 that we need will stick for that reason. So again, please, if you sign one of those petitions, please log it in your memory and don't do it twice. Appreciate that. And then finally, to wrap this up, I know this is a little bit long, Pastor Rye, thank you. I promise I won't be up here for a while. Legislature is over. But you know, I found myself praying for you this morning, and I really felt like the Lord was encouraging me to do that again this morning, because, you know, it's heavy on my heart and on his heart, and, you know, this is for you. All of this effort is to make it easier for you to fight this battle, and we need to fight this battle. So if you would just agree with me, Father, I just pray for every parent in this room. I ask that you would encourage them. I ask that you would give them the strength and the wisdom to face the things that they are facing with their children and do it biblically. I thank you, Lord God, that you would help them to be equipped and not be ignorant of the enemy's schemes. That you would give them words of wisdom and words of knowledge concerning their children. That they would see in advance the weapons that are formed against them, and they would be able to come against them and stop them. That they would have a heart to prioritize their lives, to put their children first, what's happening in their education first, and to bring them up in the godly wisdom of the Word of God and in the Lord. And Father, I also pray for every teacher here at Harvest Bible Church, every teacher in the public school system that's out there in the world as guardians over our children. I ask that you too would equip them, that they would have a heart to be knowledgeable as to what they're faced in their schools every day, and that you would give them the strength and the wisdom and the courage to stand as guardians over those children, and that they would know how to navigate these waters in your wisdom, that they would be world changers and game changers, and that they would seize every opportunity that they have to protect these children who are being assaulted. And finally, Father, I pray for the children. I pray, Lord God, that their hearts would be open to see and hear the Word of God, that their angels on assignment would be protecting them as they go and come and go to school. And whether they are in public school or in homeschool, this society is arrayed against them. And I pray, Father, that you would harden them to difficulties, that the mortar of this perversion that falls around them every day would not penetrate their hearts, that they would heed the voices of their parents and they would be drawn to their parents, that they would not be affected by all of the propaganda that seeks to divide them from their parents. Father, and while they're in the custody of their parents, Father, I pray, Father, that they would have ears to hear also and eyes to see, and the love of God would be shed abroad in their hearts, and they would understand and see clearly the difference between a godly life and the other life. And so I thank you, Father, for again, for everyone at Harvest Bible Church. It is truly a unique church that leaves no stone unturned in this battle, and I ask for your blessing upon them, everyone who takes part in this. And we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Miss Marilyn, for keeping us informed what's going on in our nation and in our state and in our schools. I'm going to take just a few moments to keep y'all informed what's going on here at Harvest Bible Church. We do have a few things I just want to give you some heads up on. We have, in just 2 days from now, our Ladies 55 Plus group has the Apple Hill outing, and that's on October the 21st, which is this upcoming Tuesday, and Ms. Cecilia will have a sign-up sheet in the lobby outside after service. If you don't want anyone to know you're 55 plus, maybe you can slip her a note of some kind, but that'll be up to you. But you can sign up with her after service today. We also, this upcoming Saturday, have our Cars and Coffee, which we are partnering into a trunk or treat to bless our community, bless the children of our community. So if anyone here is interested in partnering to decorate your car, it doesn't have to be classic, but if you want to decorate your car and get some candy to give out to some kids, we're going to use it sort of as an outreach. Our children's church is going to set up a booth, so all these kids who are coming in, you know, that are in our community, going to be handing out tracts and inviting them to get into the house of God. Amen? So it's going to be really great if you're interested in partnering, or if you just want to come and attend. They're going to have a barbecue, so it's really going to be a great time, great couple hours to spend that Saturday either way. So we hope you see you there. This upcoming Wednesday, we will have no service. You guys should be booing, right? Everyone's sad. Oh, no, right? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, we do not have service this Wednesday. That will be so for no main service, no youth or no children's church. So you can come on Wednesday, but no one will let you in. But so we advise you to stay home and enjoy a nice Wednesday night with your family or whatever you like to do. Can we still go to In-N-Out either way? Even those? Okay. I'll be at In-N-Out, so. And then I want to give you two quick save the dates as well. Our seniors luncheon is coming up in just 2 weeks from now, November the 2nd after service. Yeah. This one, you got to let people know you're seniors, so you're going to have to come and enjoy it. And that's a Denny's senior, right? 55 plus. So, yeah, so all you folks in that age range, you're welcome to come 2 weeks from now for the seniors luncheon right after service. And we want to give you a save the date for something really exciting that we do every single year, our Christmas dinner, which is December the 12th. And then we'll be sharing some more details about that. We have some exciting things that we're planning with it. So in the next few weeks, we'll let you know more about the Christmas dinner. We also have, wanted to let you guys know too, we have a youth conference coming up November 6th and November 7th. So please to be praying for us. And people always ask me if there's a need, you know, for students and sponsorships. So if you would like to partner in that, you can just put on the offering envelope youth or youth conference, and then we'll make sure that goes to some kids getting to the conference. And a couple of students have told me there's a need for it. So just making it known to you all, because everyone always asks me. I don't even have to ask. They're like, how can I give? How can I give? How can I be a part? So it's a blessing. So I just want to let you all know that. Otherwise, that's going to be it for the announcements. All you 6th to 8th graders for junior high, you can head to the back, and then pastors will come. Thank you.
Morning light of each new day, your love guides me all the way. Through the highs and through the lows, in your grace my heart still grows. Mountains tall and valleys deep, your hand holds me while I sleep. Every step and every fall, through it all you hear my call. Thank you God for all you've done, grace that flows on in the night and in the day. Goodness and mercy leads my way. Years may come and years may go, but your love, all I know. Through the storms and gentle breeze, your peace puts my soul at ease. Hearts may break and tears may fall, still your wonders they still show. God for all you've done and the grace that flows on in the night and in the day. Goodness and mercy leads my way. That was yesterday's project that all the ladies at the Girls Brunch Club there did. They did all that, and they did such a great job. You know, they used up every single flower and weed and whatever was there. It was amazing. You know, there's some serious things going on. You wouldn't want to be there to get your hand cut. But no, it was really good. They made all those wonderful centerpieces just for fall and for, you know, all of their tables and really good things. And they were all beautiful. They did it great. We got a lot of artistic folks in our church. I mean, they're, you know, I would look at that and go, okay, not going to happen. Let's stick one right there and we're good, man. That's not my forte. You know, give me the picture and I can make it, but I cannot design it. I have no thought process in my head to create things like that. You know, give me a piece of wood, give me some nails, give me something. I could actually do that, but not those things. So we just wanted, they were just precious, and we just thank God for everybody that helped and did, and it was just a real blessing. Amen? Good things. You need to know that things are happening, and there's a lot of great things going on at Harvest Bible Church. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, hey, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, we praise God for all that's happening, what's taking place. You know, and many times when you're looking at things, it doesn't look like God's doing a lot of stuff. And, you know, sometimes we always have to put ourselves in remembrance of who God is. But also we have to put ourselves in remembrance of the ability of God and that God is able. Yes. Amen. Because sometimes things cannot go as the way planned, or we can look at things. And if we look at all of the difficulties or all of the things that's going on, and we've had a lot of good things happening in the world. We've had a lot of good things. Doesn't seem like there's been a lot of good things happening within our state and stuff. But really, praise God, there is. Because we're here, we're seeing it. We're seeing God touch lives. Amen? And many times for my own self, I have to remind myself, praise God. You know, God is God. He is God. Hallelujah. And when you remind yourself that he's God, and they're not, you know, sometimes we have a tendency to think, well, is God really willing to do this? Or is this God's will for my life? Or is this something that God's willing to do? You know, we need to find scriptures and things like that for it. Same thing that also we need to, first of all, that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Yes. Amen. You know, amen. It's the evidence of things not seen, but it's the substance of things hoped for. And hope, hallelujah, when you understand hope, hope always begins where the ability of God is known. Amen. 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 How many know you can't have faith for something that you don't hope for? Amen. You can't have faith for something that you don't desire. Amen. You don't think is something that you can actually believe God for. That's why faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And when you understand that hope is the ability of God, which means that God is able. I like one of the songs that we sing. It says, isn't he is able. Isn't he able? He's able to do the things that are here. And sometimes we forget that because of all the things that are going on. So I want to read a story here about David. We all know the story, but I want to look at it and look at it here. And I just want you to just, I want to stir up your heart that no matter what God has placed upon your heart, no matter what you're praying about, what you're believing God for, guess what? God's able. I just want to encourage you and strengthen you that we're going to finish strong. Finish this year out. We're not going to coast. We're not just going to make it to the end. Amen? Because if you make it to the end, you still got January. Okay? Hallelujah. You got February. You know, you got all these things there. So, you know, you have a tendency to kind of say, man, if I could just get it. You know, when I was pastoring in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, it was just like, man, if we could just make it through the winter. You know, the pipes froze in November and didn't thaw out till February. Or March, you know, and it just snowed constantly and you were doing things. So he's like, man, if we could just make it through, you know, amen. I mean, the last winter I was in Pittsburgh, it snowed 72 inches, a cumulative for the whole winter, more than Alaska. And that's why God delivered me. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Love the snow. Love to visit. Just love to visit. For those of you that love Alaska and all that kind of stuff, God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen.
But here in 1 Samuel chapter 30, let's begin reading at verse 1. He said this, he said, and I'm going to be reading out of the New King James. It says, "And now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and had attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there from the small to the great. They did not kill anyone, but they carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep," which means they were just exhausted. They were just done. "I'm done. God, we just have nothing left in them." Amen. It says, "And David's two wives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him." You ever been to a place where, you know what, everything's going wrong, and then all of a sudden, people think it's all your fault? If you haven't, you haven't been in ministry. You may think you have, but you haven't. I remember I had a young couple that it was their first time being youth ministers, you know. And they were, came on staff with me, and it was the first. And after, I remember after a service one night, they came and they were just crying, because somebody said something bad about them, and somebody told them that they weren't doing their job and they didn't do this right and they didn't do this, and it crushed them. And they looked at me and said, "Well, you know," and I said, I just looked at them and said, "You know, welcome to ministry." And I said, "Listen, let me help you on how you deal with this." Because they wanted everybody to like them. I said, "If you want everybody to like you, you better not come into ministry. You want God to like you, that's good. And if you're doing what God asks you to do, then that's good. Because most of the time, it's just going to be you and God enjoying your life. Okay? Because the minute that you said, 'Hey, I want to do this,' you put a big bullseye on you, and that took everybody else to give pot shots at you. You know, thank God they made it. Thank God they pastoring. Thank God they went on to be blessings. You know, they survived. But I had to explain, I had to teach them in those few years there to say, listen, this is what happens. Is that the minute that, hey, yeah, you've got your own things going on. You've got everything happening. And then guess what? It's all your fault for everybody else's problems. Thank you for your overwhelming. Hey, you guys are perfect, so I'm good. Everything's wonderful. Y'all are perfect. So I'm talking about times past, other churches, all those kind of things, okay? Hallelujah. You know, but what am I sharing? Many times we get to the place where it's like, what's the use? What is this? But I love what David did. Let's keep reading. Let's keep reading what David did. You know, I'm here. He is, because he spake of stoning him because the soul of the people was grieved and every man for his sons and his daughters. Yeah, everybody was like, here we are serving David. Here we are doing. And, you know, it's funny because if you go back to chapter 22 of 1 Samuel, here's David's men, verse 1 and 2. You don't have to turn back there, but 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 and 2. Let me read it to you. "David therefore departed thence, and he escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all of his father's house heard it, they went down hither to be with him," okay? "And everyone that was there was in distress. And everyone that was there was in debt. And everyone that was there was discontented. And they gathered themselves unto him, and he became their captain over them, and they were his 400 men." Isn't that wonderful? They were distressed, in debt, and discontented. And these were David's mighty men. And these were the same one over here in chapter 30 said, "We want to kill you." Amen. So go back to chapter 30. Let's see what David has to do all by himself. You ever heard somebody say this to you? "Well, I'm trying to help you because I know you'll never have as much faith as me." You know right then and there that you probably ought to get away from that person. Amen? Because if somebody's a friend and somebody wants to help you, then they want you to actually get all that they have and grow farther than them. Amen? Hallelujah. I want you to go farther and farther. Amen? Hallelujah. But look what it says. Because the people was grieved in every man for his son. But David, he strengthened himself, or he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He strengthened himself. He encouraged himself. Well, how did he do that? Well, first of all, he had to deal with himself. You know, Psalms 42 verse 5 says this. It says that, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, for he's the help of his countenance." And I love, I have a little thing on in my King James Version when it says the help of his countenance. It says, "For his presence is salvation." Isn't it nice that no matter what's going on, you can feel like, man, you're getting hit, you're getting knocked from every side, but you can go and you can encourage yourself, or you can strengthen yourself in the Lord by begin, first of all, saying, okay, what's wrong with you right now? Well, I've had all, you can give on. But he says, hey, why are you cast down, oh my soul? That's your mind, your will, and your emotions, all the things that are going on and what's happening. Why are you disquieted? Which means you're not quiet, you're on uproar. Ever had your emotions yelling at you? Your feelings, you might have had that this morning with you. You don't answer, don't look to the right or the left. Everybody, you're walking in faith and believing here. Forgiveness, you showed up. This is good. Hallelujah. Amen. You realize that David was part of those that had no power to weep. He was part of that, that he lost everything too. But it's all his fault. Why? Because he's the leader. He's got to figure some things out here. So David encourages himself in the Lord. Isn't it funny? It just says that. But what did he have to do? You know, Psalms 56, 3 and 4, and then also I'm going to get over. He said this. He said, "In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do to me." Amen. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And in that same chapter, it goes on to say, "Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust you. I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me." Amen. Sounds like Hebrews 13, right? You know, hallelujah. We trust in God. We do there. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God said he'd never leave us or forsake us. Amen. So we can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me." Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So now look what David does. He goes and he begins to encourage himself. Then he said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, he said, "Please bring the ephod here to me." And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail you recover all." Now, David wasn't of the priestly line. Abiathar was, but he takes the ephod, which is the priest's coat, thing that they made, talked about how elaborate it was over there. But they brought it, and David actually put on, says, "I'm going to get in contact with God. I'm going to put on the armor of God. I'm going to put on how I get in contact with God. I'm going to put on this relationship that I have with God." Amen? First thing David says, "God, I know you're able, but am I supposed to do it?" Man, what a willingness. What an incredible thing. "God, I know you're able. This is what I want to do. I want to go." Amen? "I want to do this." But he inquires the Lord, "Lord, should I go? Am I going to go? Should I overtake them? Am I going to be able to overtake them?" And God answers and said, "Yep, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail, you're going to recover all." What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing that he's endeavoring to do. Hallelujah. That he's saying, "Hey, I'm going to get in contact with God, and I'm going to start." And then you know what's kind of interesting about this story is you read down in chapter 30 there, it talks about, because at this time he had the 400 disgruntled, they were still, but then he had actually added 200 more. So he had 600 men in his army, David's army that he had with him. And so, but they're going to go over, but only 400 could go. 200 were just, they were just too totally wiped out. They just had nothing left in them. So they had to stay by the stuff. And so the other 400 went with them. And the rest of the story, they went out, they captured, they brought everything back. And you notice when the 400 got back and they got back to the 200 that was by the stuff, The 400 said, hey, you didn't come. You don't get nothing. Here's your wife. Here's your kids. That's all you get. And the Bible, you know, it's funny because it calls him. It says, it's amazing because right in here, it says, and the wicked men said to those that were by the stuff. Isn't that amazing? The wicked men that went and did battle, he came back. They called those guys wicked because they didn't want to share. They said, well, they were too weak. They're punks. They couldn't do it. They didn't do this. Look at it. They didn't have enough faith to get this. Why should we help them? Why should they get all this? They didn't, you know. And David's like, no way. They that stayed by this stuff get the exact same as those of us who went. Because many times, and not many times, all the time, we're all on different levels. We're all at different places. We're all at different, you know, times in our lives. You know, and that's why as you grow in the things of God, you got to love babies. You know, but we don't like toddlers. And then they get sweet a little bit, and we like them to be a little sweet little children and sweet. And then they turn 12 or 13. And then we don't like them again. Because they think they know more than us. That's why the Bible talks about growing up. He likens us to a family, likens us to people, likens us under these things here. And we get attitudes. Like these guys here. Well, they didn't do anything. How come they don't deserve anything? Yeah, but they're part of the family. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. They're part of the family. Yeah. David encouraged himself. You know, one of the greatest things that you can ever do is learn how to encourage and strengthen yourself. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. I mean, because David believed that God was able. He believed that he was able to do that. He was able to do it. Amen? Yeah. I want you to turn with me over to Matthew chapter 9, if you would, with me. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 9. Because this is a really interesting example that it happened, you know, with Jesus. Verses 28 and 29. Actually, we'll back up to verse 27. It says, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Amen. And it's kind of like, wow, okay, cool. You know, and when they'd come into the house, you know, the blind men came to him and said unto him, hallelujah, you know, or the blind men come unto him, and the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto him, believe you that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. He said, do you believe? He asked them a question. And that's a question that we've got to ask ourselves. Is God able? Now understand that just because God's able doesn't mean he's going to do it. So you can believe God is able all day long. You can believe God is able. You can praise God that God's able. You can praise God for the ability of God. You can praise God for the promises of God. But until you do the next thing that says, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. According to your faith, according to what you believe. And what is it that you believe concerning the situation? What is it? Of course, they said, yes. He said, okay, then it's according to your faith that you get to receive. Isn't it amazing, you know, that, and then he touched their eyes, saying to them, according to your faith, be it unto you. Verse 29, then he said, he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Amen. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they went around and spread it all out there anyways, told everybody. It's kind of hard not to tell everybody whenever it says, hey, you're seen, okay? Kind of hard not to do that. Kind of hard not to do those things there. Hallelujah. But when you understand, and I always used to ask the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, how? You know, how do I encourage myself? Well, first of all, David said, all right, soul, All right, mind. All right, emotions. Hey, why are you so upset? Why are you talking so loud right now? Come on. That's what it means by they're not disquieted within me. I love the King James Version. All right. Hope. You got a hope in God. Hey, is God still able? Is God still God? Can God? God can. I have to hope in God, you know? And not only do I have to hope in him, but I don't have hope unless I have praise. That's how you know you have hope, if you have praise and thanksgiving for him. Isn't it amazing how God puts everything back on us? God, I'm believing for you to send things to go. God, I'm believing for you to sow into this. God, I'm believing for you to meet that need and thing. And then God says, okay, you give. God, I'm believing for you to meet that need. We'll leave that right there. One of these days, I'm gonna cross the line. Hallelujah. And then we'll see. Hallelujah. What happens? What happens? What takes place? Amen. Isn't it amazing that he said, according to your faith, let it be unto you? God's desire for us is when you look up, if you look up all the words in the Bible and talks about Abel, there's so many things where it says God's able to do these things. He's able to do all this. But like I said, hope begins where the ability of God is known. But faith begins where the will of God is known. And so when you know God's will, which is his word and his will are the same. And so you know what God can do, but then what can you believe God to do? Amen? It comes back to us. Why? Because God doesn't do things apart from us. He wants to do things with us. Hallelujah. He wants us to enjoy the benefit of being used by God. He wants to enjoy the benefit of seeing what God can do. You know, in Jude chapter 1, verse 24, it says this, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Wow. Said God, remember I said, I always ask God, how? Okay, how do I do this? First of all, I got to take care of me. How do I do this? All right, Lord, I gotta know that it works here at home, or I got to change it. I got to get my soul quiet. I got to get my mind quiet. I got to get this thing here. And I like what the psalmist said. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. And he said, in God, I will praise his word. Okay, I got to find his word. I got to find things. That's right. In God have I put my trust. I'm not going to be afraid what man can do unto me. Amen. So I've got to get into the word. I've got to do that. Okay, Lord, what do I need? How do I strengthen myself? Amen. Glory to God. Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Let's go over. Hallelujah. To 2 Peter chapter 1. Somebody says, Pastor, you're going real slow today. I know. I was told I speak really fast and it's hard. So I thought, okay. And you guys don't realize how hard it is to talk this slow. Now, so now I know how come some of you are so tired because you talk this slow. It's just rough. So just kidding. Love all of you. Hallelujah. But seriously, I want you to get it. Because I know that we can get weary and well-doing, and we can see. And you have to understand the people of the earth are going to get worse and worse and worse that doesn't know God. The people are going to go, they're going to get meaner and meaner and meaner. They're going to not, but thank God, hallelujah, we're going to get brighter and brighter and brighter. Yes. And we're going to allow God to be God in our lives. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. And so I want to give you some things to help you. To encourage you. How do I encourage myself? Amen. And here in 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 3. He said, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called you to glory and virtue. So that scripture tells us he's given us everything we need to succeed in life. He's given us everything we need to do to be in right standing with God for godliness. And it's because of knowledge of him. who's called us to glory in virtue, which is means glory in excellence, glory in life. Amen. Then he turns in verse 4 and he says, where are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Amen. Amen. That by these exceeding great and precious promises, these we might be partakers of the divine nature. Man, aren't you glad you don't have to go by your nature? But if you're born again, your nature is supposed to be changed anyways. Amen. But it's the divine nature. Now look at the next phrase. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We've escaped that. Amen. Now here's something too. Let's keep reading. He said, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Well, you've been born again. You know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You may even be filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you, and allowing God to be God in your life there and everything. But he says, you got to add to your faith. And he says, the first thing you got to add to your faith is virtue or excellence, which means is that, glory to God, hallelujah, that when you add that to there, what does it mean by excellence? It means that you're always going to do your best in service for God, in honor of God, and do nothing that's going to bring reproach to God. And you add to your faith excellence, then if you're doing the best that you know, even if you're doing it 100% wrong, but you don't know it, God's going to honor it. Now, see, that went over like a lead balloon. See, the problem is, it's like, is that we have a tendency, you know, to look at everybody else and think that, well, that excellence should be here. No, excellence is your best. Now, you remember my greatest example of that, right? Is the lady that was in my church in Pittsburgh. It's the best example because it's on two totally different extremes, all right? And, you know, they would come and do things, and everybody was mad at this lady because she wanted to pay for everything. But she couldn't cook. You know, her husband took care of it. He passed away, but he set her up really good. I remember she called me up one day, and she said, oh, Pastor, guess what? I just found another $50,000 in another account. Didn't know I had. I said, well, praise God. And lest you think, she didn't give me one penny. I sat down and helped her write out checks to every ministry in America. 50,000 here, 50,000 there, you know. I helped her move, literally. I got the U-Haul, loaded her up, moved her to South or North Carolina, wherever Jim Baker was. Got her in her house there. I moved her, you know, because that's what she needed. She was a widow. The Bible says you got to help the widows and everything. So I said, that's going way overboard. She needed it. Okay, it's an issue. That's a long story. But anyways, here's her story. Because she came to the pastor, I need to talk to you. Everybody's mad at me. They're mad at me. I said, well, what's that? Well, I just said, hey, I want to do this. Okay, I said, well, I'll help you. And then they said, who you think you are? And everybody's getting mad at her, thinking she's flaunting her. And she wasn't. She was just sweet. She said, Pastor, isn't this right? If your best is an apple pie and my best is $10,000, it's the same. Now, to you, it ain't the same. But to God, it is. And that's a true story. See, I don't even have to make up stories. I don't even have to read about them. Amen? Hallelujah. Somebody asked me a question one time. Well, why didn't she give? I don't think she ever thought about it. And I never told her. Or I'd ever asked, and I'd ever said, you know. But, you know, the thing about, but I love that story because it's absolutely the truth. We have a tendency, well, not a tendency, we all do that. It's like, oh my gosh, what do you want, apple pie or $10,000? Are you kidding me? I don't care how good your apple pie is. But for her, you know. Amen. Y'all were thinking it. I can just say it, you know. Y'all got like, hey, here we go. You know, God bless you. Y'all trying to be holy. I can guarantee you can buy a lot. You can buy a lot of apple pies. Okay. No, but look, when you add to your faith virtue, when you add to it excellence, when you're giving your all and you're believing at your best. And here's the thing, too. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, who art thou that judges another man's servant? Am I able to make him stand? We have a tendency to judge everybody else's. Now, yes, we can judge actions and we can judge words and all that kind of stuff, but we can't judge motives and we can't judge hearts. Amen? And besides that, who are you? Who art thou that judges another man? So he ain't your servant, so he's got to be God's. Let God be the God that does that before you mouth off about somebody else. You know? And we've seen that in the body of Christ. We've seen so many different things happening in the body of Christ. Now, I mean, I've never seen the body of Christ this fragmented in my entire life over all kinds of issues that everybody wants to put their two cents in that doesn't mean anything. Sorry, we interrupted this sermon to do that. We're done, okay? Praise God. Have no idea why that came into that, but it must have been for somebody. And if you're doing that and you think you know everything, God bless you, stop it. Repent and God will forgive you. Amen. 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 My mentor, my spiritual father in the faith was Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin, who is in heaven and everything. But anyways, if you wanted to close the conversation down with him, you ask him about somebody. Say, well, what do you think about so-and-so? You're done. He won't say another word until he meets you again. And he'll say hi. It was like, oops. You know, I seen that happen over and over and over again. I thought, that's why he walks in divine health. That's why he walks, that's why God anoints him. That's why God's using him. Because he's not going to say anything bad about anybody. And man, he has been lied about, beat up. In fact, I think he's more on the internet now than he ever has been. From all the everybody replaying all the wild services. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's keep reading here because we need this. Add to your faith virtue or excellence. And then add to your excellence knowledge. Man, knowledge of the Word of God. Add knowledge and then actually add knowledge of things. You know, before you make a comment about things, you probably ought to know a little bit about it, all right? And to knowledge, temperance. Amen? We all know what temperance is. That's that wonderful word called self-control. Amen. Hallelujah. And not get mad if somebody doesn't like your faith. Or not get mad because somebody's not believing with you. Amen? Amen. This is how you encourage yourself. You got to say, David had to say, you know what? I'm doing all I know to do. Lord, I believe it. You said you're able. Okay. But I got to add to my faith. We're doing all we know to do. We can do this. He's like, okay, I'm going to add knowledge. I'm going to actually know how to go get this thing. And then he says, to knowledge, I'm going to add temperance. I'm going to add self-control. And to self-control, I'm going to add this wonderful word that everybody hates called patience. Which means I'm not going to make haste. I'm not, hallelujah, going to allow somebody to give me the tyranny of the urgent and push me through things, you know, and not look at things. Amen. Hallelujah. And then he says to patience, godliness. And that's been just shot and killed over so many different things. What is godliness? Because everybody wants you to be religious. Godliness just means godlikeness, which simply means Christlikeness, which simply means I'm going to act like the way God wants me to act. And how and what would God would do in this situation? Do I need to speak the truth in love? Yes. Do I need to stand up? Hallelujah. Glory to God for righteousness? Then yes. Do I need to walk in love? Is this a hill I need to die on, or is it a hill I need to just let somebody else have? Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm going to let God be God, and I want to do it so that I can stand before God without any guilt or any condemnation. Amen. And then he said to godliness, brotherly kindness. Aren't you glad David didn't get up and say, you bunch of punks. What's up, man? Here, I lost everyone. What's, you know, come on. Suck it up. You guys should be going over here getting encouraged. But he didn't do that because he was the leader. Amen? He got to say, hey, let's go. We're going to go get it. Let's go get it. Let's go get it back. And then those said, hey, we just don't. That's okay. David didn't get mad at those that couldn't go with him. Isn't it amazing? I've heard this time and time again. Well, if you're not with us or you're not for us, you're against us. No, it's just simply they can't see where you're going. Amen. Amen. You know, my title is just God's able. Because he's able to do anything and everything that you need. He's able to do this. But here's the best thing. To brotherly kindness, he said, why don't you add love? Why don't you add the agape love that says you're going to love unconditional? Look at verse 8. He said, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, or the more, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Never fall. That's pretty powerful. I mean, that's pretty powerful when it says you'll never fall. If you'll add to your faith, if you'll do this, if you'll encourage yourself in the Lord, if you'll get, then it won't matter what anybody else says. Amen? Man, when you've been criticized by experts, you won't care about the little spurts. Amen? Go with me to 2 Timothy, if you would, chapter 1. And if you'll notice, I'm making you use your Bible or your phone and your iPad. Hallelujah, because I want you to see this. I want you to have the ammunition to take hold of this. Because all of us can get discouraged. All of us can feel discouraged. All of us can be like, but I'm tired. Man, this happened. How come I'm not bouncing back like I did? How come this isn't going like it should go? What's going on here? We can ask all the questions, but you know what? If you'll encourage yourself in the Lord and then inquire of the Lord. Most people inquire of the Lord before they're ready. Okay. Most of us inquire before the Lord before we're in faith, before we've encouraged ourselves, before we've built ourselves up and said, okay, most of us feel like we're ready to, we talk to God when we're blah, But it's always better to go talk to God when you're just a little bit out the word, got some things in hand. Okay, God, let me just bring some things to you. Let's discuss this. Amen. Let's work this together. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Paul said this, and it's so amazing because this is something, too, that you've got to always have in the back of your mind and something that's able to help you. He said, for this reason, I also suffer these things, talking about being in prison and all the persecution that he got. He said, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of all things that have gone on in my life, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him until the day that I go, I am persuaded that he is able. Amen? I'm persuaded that he is able. Glory to God to do that. And God is doing it. God's causing it. When you know, wait a minute, God, you've got me. No matter what goes on, no matter where you are, say, God, you've got me. You're able to hold me up. You're able to make me stand. So I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He also said this, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, he said, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. All of his divine favor, everything. So that you'll always have an all sufficiency in all things. And that you may have an abundance for every good work. Means that you have more than an ample supply to do things. And then here's the last one. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Because I want to leave you shouting here. Leave you happy. Amen. I want to give you something you have to do. Haven't you noticed that David didn't have a buddy with him? And you realize David didn't have the Spirit of God in him. He only had the Spirit of God on him. He was anointed to do what he was doing. We've got the Spirit of God in us. We've got greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Glory to God. God's forth. We know that God's in us. We've got that divine nature. We've got, all his Spirit lives and dwells. So glory to God. What a great thing. Here in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, he said, now to him who is able. To him who is able. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now let's just stop there for a second because we're going to smack you with the next verse, next thing. But God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Amen? That's an amazing promise. But then he adds this. It's according to the power that works in us. Be it unto you according to your faith. It's according to the power that works in us. Someone says, well, how do I increase that power? By acknowledging every good thing that's in you. You know, amen. That's what it said over there in Philemon, verse 6. You know, only has one chapter, but it says that the communication of your faith, that it may become effectual or powerful. How do I get my faith more powerful? By acknowledging every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. Amen? So how do I make my faith more powerful? How do I, according to the power that works within me, which is that faith, that spirit, greater is he that's in me, me believing this according, be it unto me according to my faith becomes effectual or powerful, hallelujah, when I acknowledge every good thing, hallelujah, amen, every good thing that God has said about me, every good thing that I have in Christ Jesus, that I find out in Christ Jesus. See, when you find out who you are, and when you find out that you're in Christ, you find out who you are in Christ, it changes everything about you. We don't have to talk to you about acting right. We don't have to talk to you about giving. We don't have to talk to you about everything, because when you find out who you are in Christ, you want to do all those things. You know you're supposed to, you know that the reason you're not going to have or be blessed or enjoy the joy that God has and the thrill is because you're not appropriating it. You can blame everybody else. You can blame your past. You can blame your parents. You can blame this person, that person, this thing that happened. You can blame everything, but it's just because you don't know who you are. Amen? You need to know who you are. And you need to know that you can encourage yourself. Why? Because God is able. But not only is he able, guess what? Man, one of the greatest days when you find out that God is willing. God's willing. He wants to. Do you know he wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed? Do you know he wants to heal you more than you want to be healed? Because he's already done that. We look at things and we say, oh, I've heard that before. I heard that. God bless you. I'm so glad you've heard it before. Problem is, it's not registering on the inside of you. Because if you don't get thrilled and it doesn't penetrate your heart, it doesn't work in your life. Amen? We see this all the time. Amen? So I want you to know God's able. There's things that we got to add to how we encourage ourselves in the Lord is we begin to acknowledge every good thing. Not every bad thing. We all know the bad thing. Every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus. And we acknowledge that, hey, I'm adding to my faith. Glory to God, a spirit of excellence, virtue, life. I'm going to add life to my faith. I mean, you ever heard somebody say, well, I know God loves me, and I'm saved, and I'm going to try to make it out to the end, and I'm going to try to endure. But, and it's like, man, you need to add some life into that. You need to get rid of the Eeyore. Get rid of the Eeyore. Get rid of the Eeyore. You got to get rid of, well, this is how bad. No, you got to stir yourself up and say, no, I'm going to add some life to my faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to add some temperance, some self-control, add some knowledge. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My faith is working. I'm going to stir up. Even if I am just saved, I'm going to stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of me. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we honor you and love you. We glorify your name, Lord. My heart's desire this morning, Father, was to just encourage the body of Christ and to get them to know that you're able. But not only able, but you're willing. But we got to know your ability, which God, all things, you can do all things, and all things are possible. Hallelujah to him who believes. Lord, thank you for Harvest Bible Church. Thank you for your hand upon it. Thank you, Father, not only for these that are here, but those that are listening, those that have been watching us, those, because it's going out all over and touching lives. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for all of you that are listening. Glory to God. Thank you. God loves you. He cares. And this word's for you too. Hallelujah. It's a word. It's a word. It's a word. Hallelujah. And it's a word from God that he is able. Amen. He loves you. And that's why I'm talking to the body of Christ. I'm talking to my church. Talking to that, hey, glory to God. No matter if we get weary in well-doing, we get weary at things. It seems like, oh, and we can even get to the point where we've wept and we have no more strength. We just have nothing left to give. And yet God says, hey, And when you get to that place, you can say, well, you know, this is a good time to encourage myself. This is a good time to lift my voice to my God. Because God is still God. Hallelujah. He's still God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. My ability has never changed because I've never changed, says the Lord. I am the Lord God and I change not. My heart toward you has never changed. My want toward you has never changed. I chose you, I chased you, and I sought you, and I bought you with the blood of my Son. And because of that blood, oh, all of my promises are yes and amen. And I am still the God of miracles. I am still the God of provision. I am still Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals thee. I am still God. But not just God. I desire to be your Father. And the relationship that I desire is one that is living. One that's full of life. But oh, you say, I tried this and this and this, but it's be it unto you. It's be it unto you. And it is according to your faith. But I've given you my faith, as my word has declared, that has declared and said, to each one, I gave a measure of faith as I declared in my word. And it was through that faith that enabled you to receive me and to believe in me. And because you did, you have all the faith that you need to receive all of everything else that you need and to walk worthy of the calling and the election that I have called you and elected you to do. So now is the time to stir yourself up. Now is the time to encourage and strengthen yourself and get with me and hear from me and begin to acknowledge every good thing that I've placed within you. Because I thought you were worthy enough to chase. I thought you were worthy enough to have as my family and my child. Because the scriptures declared that you couldn't come to me without the Holy Spirit drawing you. So my spirit drew you. Because I wanted you, says the Lord. You didn't slip in the back door. You didn't just find out about something and say, oh, God had to because I'd seen this. No, no. I wanted you. And so my ability, my willingness is all for you. Because my Son, he died just for you. Just for you. So renew again. Rise up again. Exercise faith again. Let's stir up our hearts again. Let's know and believe that he can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could even ask or think, and declare that his power is working mightily in us. Thank you, Father. Lord, we honor you and love you and praise you. You're so wonderful. But Lord, we never want to have a service. We want to make sure everybody's born again. Everybody has a relationship with Jesus. And if you don't have that relationship, if Jesus Christ isn't your Lord and Savior, or you don't really know what that means, You may know about him, you may love him a lot, but you've never received him. You've never believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus. That's how you get born again. And something supernatural changes. Something supernatural happens. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you're here and you say, Pastor, I need to say that prayer. I need to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Just raise your hand real high. Let's just do it right now. Let's just take care of business. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I see that hand. See those hands. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Raising your hand, you're acknowledging God. Say, God, here, and he's running to you. So let's go with these three, four that raised their hand, and let's just declare. Let's just let God be God. Amen. And so those of you that did, let's just mean this in our heart, and let's proclaim it, and let's change our lives. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you for going to the cross for me. Thank you for saving me right now. Thank you for forgiving me of all of my sins. Lord Jesus, I call you Lord. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for those that have just honored you this morning, whether coming back to you or whether for the first time or just coming and saying, you know what, I need to do this. Father, thank you for this is church here. Thank you that we're going to love them and honor them. And Lord, thank you that all of heaven rejoices. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I love you. God loves you. Hey, our prayer team's going to come forward. And if you raised your hand, we have some books we'd like to give to you. Some things like it just lets you know about this new journey that you're on. It just gives you, it's called This New Life. This thing, it'll be a real blessing. The rest of us, let's all stand up. But if you need prayer this morning, our prayer team is up. They'll bless you. I love you. God loves you. Be blessed.